Hey guys, before I begin, I want to talk about our sponsor, Patch Junkie. Patch Junkie is a shop out of Delaware that specializes in creating uniquely designed patches. Their stock includes everything from military-style morale patches to designs that reference popular culture. They also sell other patch-related stuff like patch mats and patch bags and sticker patches too. On that tip, I actually just ordered a tactical bag. I've been really interested in having a survival kit, if you will, to have in my car when I'm on the road. And so I got one from Patch Junkie, and so far it looks pretty sweet. I'm really, at least from the pictures, I'm waiting for it to come in, and I'm really going to get it all set up and put a bunch of things in there that is going to really give me some more confidence when I'm on the road, especially if something were to happen to me and I get stranded. They also make badass patches, of course, like I was saying, and I really think that you guys should jump on their site. Some cool stuff about them is that obviously, they're all about high quality items. The next thing is that they care about their supporters. They handpick their orders or handpack their orders and thank each and every one of their supporters. They care about the world around them. They reduce their waste and do their part to prevent deforestation and offset their carbon footprint during shipping. And then, of course, they support conservation efforts. So if you're a member of the military or if you're just a fan of uniquely made items or if you just like collecting stuff, go to www.patchjunkieshop.com and enter the code SALUMIS for 10% off your order. Once again, that is www.patchjunkieshop.com and enter the promo code SALUMIST, S-A-L-U-M-I-S-T, and instantly get 10% off. Welcome to another episode of the SALUMIST Podcast. Today's episode is me sitting down with Mark, just like how I used to when I was a kid, and I would sort of look to him for some advice. So lately, I've been kind of frustrated with my circle as I start to audit my circle, which is something that I do periodically in my life. I audit my friends and stuff like that, and then I really audit myself to see where I can be better. But there's been some frustration with my friends, and I'm just trying to get a better idea as to why I'm getting frustrated. And I'm hoping that I can turn my frustration into motivation so I can see and do better just as a person. So this is going to be a conversation with just him and I, and we're just running me through the grinder kind of. And just like when I was a kid, he would hit me with some stuff that would just get me thinking. And so I hope that you guys can enjoy this episode. And I hope that I'm not the only person on this planet that has moments like these where you just kind of go through and start evaluating things. I think it's really healthy, but it's definitely weird getting some of my thoughts out, but it was good to get them out in the end, and I've got a ton of homework to do. So I hope you guys find value in this episode. This one's episode 903, and I'm going to call this one Friendships 2.0 because I had another friendship episode, and this one is just more centered around me. So I hope, again, that you guys do find value in it. And if you have any questions or feedback, don't hesitate to reach out.
My best friend, our entire dichotomy, it depends on how, from which angle I want to describe the friendship, but it's always been him using me.
Really?
Because, because I'm not a material person. And when we got older, guess what? I couldn't be used anymore. So I love him to death. I'd kill 10 people for him, even if without thinking twice. But I'm just in a stage of my life where now that dynamic of me being a free resource of sorts, because he didn't wake up in the morning to use people. He's just a selfish guy raised by his grandmother and his mother. And he's one of the most beautiful, kindest people I've ever known. He's just a spoiled young guy. And I came up in a household with 10, 12 people now all the time. But I'm a younger brother. I'm a youngest brother.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to be spoiled myself too. But, you know, it was nothing wrong with that. And we still speak about each other every day. I barely talk to him maybe once every month or two. But he's still, and I have another friend, best friend, Therese, that was later in life, my teenage years, and our friendship was built around discovering philosophically and intellectually and spiritually who we were, because we were at that age, 13, 14, all the way up to adulthood. It's a different kind of friendship. And we talk to each other maybe once every couple of months, but it's still just as rich as possible.
Yeah.
I think that what you're describing is a like a personality type, but you've always been that way. And there's nothing wrong with that too. You know what I mean? You're just a spoiled guy yourself. At least that's how I've always seen you. At least that's how I've always seen you. I've always thought, oh man, he's a spoiled, corny kid from the county. You know what I mean? But I'm serious. I've always thought that. But that's also what I like. I don't want someone just like me or someone like the people I'm used to. So it's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason to qualify that. I'm as aloof and disjointed as they come. You know what I mean? And in some ways more than I ever have been. What I mean is you should not measure your friendships to get to answer your question about the degree to which it appeases your sensibilities. Because that lots of friendships include that, but you don't want that to be, that ain't what a friendship is. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
A friendship asks nothing of the other person because a friendship's based in love. And love doesn't ask anything. It's not about what they do for you or how much they do for you or the degree to which you consume them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That ain't a friendship. Because me and my best friend, when we met, when we really started hanging out, he traded me something. He's a wheeler and dealer.
Yeah.
I had something like Super Mario 3 or something that he wanted. And he traded me like a remote control car, ironically.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. But I wasn't as handy as he was. Now I'm far more handy.
Yeah.
But I wasn't as mechanically inclined as he was. Like, he could build bikes and go-karts and airplanes. Mm-hmm. He built anything. And I'd be fascinated by that stuff. He'd trade me, but it wouldn't be working like a week or two later. Yeah. I'd feel kind of ripped off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's who he was. And I wasn't a material person. I wasn't attached to those things. I didn't care about money. I remember my childhood best friend waking up. I was living with him my junior year of high school with him and his grandmother. And I woke up and he was counting a big old pile of money, falling asleep counting it. He's always a willer and a dealer, always a hustler. And I remember thinking, hey man, that's a lot of money. How much you got there? He's like, shoot, I don't know. But he trusted me so much, he knew I wouldn't touch a dollar of it. I went back to sleep. I was very depressed that year. I went back to sleep, woke back up, and he was about at $14K.
Yeah.
$14,000 junior in high school. And that wasn't all of it. Then I was like, he had a little pile over on the side that was like $1,100 or $1,200. I was like, what are you going to do with that, man? Mm-hmm. He said, that's what I get to keep. And I was like, what? Where's the other part? The other part goes back to the other guy, the big guy. So if anyone knows what I'm talking about, I'm describing a particular type of commerce here. And I thought, what a moron. And later that year when we were seeing, that's one of the biggest first fights we ever had. I was like, don't be stupid. Don't be that other guy that gets to keep the $12,000. You mean you went and took all these risks hustling and you only get to keep this much of it? My point was, as soon as the relationship accountability was brought into the relationship, it was our first fight. And we've been best friends since third grade. And we were literally walking home from school after we got off the bus. And he was frustrated that I was asking him to do better. I was like, yo, let's get a shot. Back then, it was Bluegrass Audio.
I remember Bluegrass Audio. Like,
Well, he was one of those guys that spent thousands of dollars. Yeah. And I was like, dude, we could do this ourselves. We used to build speaker boxes and you know, put the big 15-inch speakers in. We do that all the time in Coach Logic's woodworking class at Bowling Green High. And I was like, yo, you can do this. And it's also a way to keep your money, you know, clean your money up. Like, you, biggest thing gets you in trouble is you can't explain the money.
Where the money comes from.
If you get money, you know, from. So, anyway, I remembered how awkward that was because we never asked anything of each other. It was always just both people allowed to be themselves in their own, in their reliability or unreliability or their aloofness, you know, and all of that. Both people allowed to be themselves. And it didn't cause, we grew closer because of it. But in later years, right after high school, 2000, 2001, we couldn't hang out because the lifestyle would put me in these compromising situations where he would be amongst, like, convicted murderers. And it was still just partying, hanging out with the D-boys and the street people. And it ain't when you're 22 and 23. Sure. You could get killed or something. What I mean is, friendships have to be allowed to be like any other living organism. You know, they got different parts to them, and they grow, and they get old, and, you know, and sometimes they expire, you know what I mean? Or else what you're talking about is not a friendship at all. You know, maybe it's just a an associate or an association.
Okay, like so for me, I feel like I've gotten past the point in my life. I've gotten past the point in my life where I have, where I want friendships where I don't expect things out of people.
Yeah.
Where I think that because I am very driven, or I like to think that I'm driven towards accomplishing things.
Yep.
I want people, like, I want part of the, where you say no expectation.
Yeah.
I want the bare minimum of them even be associated with me.
To be
goal-oriented and accountable and stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I have friends that are talking about that right now. That's a part of growing up, I think. I got friends who are going through that at different levels.
Yeah.
I have dimensions of my own life where I'm going through that, where I don't want to be around a million people that all they can talk about is their fucking mortgage or their kids or their family or what, you know what I mean? Like, you can't save like $100 and let's do something meaningful that... in, that satisfies us, but is maybe just not about us going on that that whatever that path, that typical get a job, get married, get like that path or whatever. So there's a, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's what, it's gotten really hard for me to.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to do different types of self checks with the friends that I audit my circle.
Yeah.
And so as I continue auditing my circle, I start to realize that I used to feel bad about expecting things out of people.
Uh-huh.
But then I realized that I expect a lot out of people because I want people to expect a lot out of me.
Yep.
And I want people to expect me to do better and call me out when I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
Or if I'm slacking or not doing right by myself or by my family or anything like that.
Yeah.
So when I don't, when I see that that's not there, I don't get, well, I struggle between being mad at them and being mad at myself for even having a connection like that, because I shouldn't be mad at those people. That's just who they are. And so that's kind of where I am right now. A lot of the connections that I have, I'm just like,
yeah,
I get it. If you want to do your thing and not be held accountable and all that, that's cool. Go ahead and be that person. But I cannot, like... I can't do too much dirt with you, if that makes any sense. Like, I just can't. I can't be. It's something I struggle with a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really surprised that you say that, because for my being someone that's known you a decade or two now, like for my observation, you've always been that way.
Really?
If you recall, all of the affinity we gained for one another was when you were growing in your relationship, and I was there, kind of maybe offering a little philosophical perspective. Think about it. With Alex, your wife.
Yeah.
It was always a transition. With Holly.
Yeah.
It was always you. That's who you are, man.
Really?
That's who you are. You know who else is like that?
Who's that?
J-Lo.
J-Lo?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a Leo.
Yeah.
Leo's,
oh, God damn it, Mark.
Yeah, that's what you get. That's what you get for bringing it up, man. You gotta hear it.
Fuck, Mark.
Yeah, man. Because some people are bigger than those levels of circles. You know how the lion acts?
No.
He leads the pride, and the pride follows the lion. It's tricky. It's a tricky thing to pull out. The lion is regal, and all trivial interaction is beneath the lion. But it causes the lion to sometimes be alone, because the pack is always in relation to the lion's wandering around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch nature?
Well, I've seen nature. Yeah, I see what you're...
I'm just saying, like, lions, are their behavior very well understood. I'm just hoping I'm not spitting out something that you can't follow because you didn't know how lions act.
Yeah.
Or, well, it's said that that's the challenge that Leo's... You know how J-Lo's always went through all those different boyfriends?
She's going through dudes like crazy.
Yeah, she's not a whore. It's quite the opposite. Her standards are so high that by the time she gives her heart to something... she's like, you got to be there with me.
Yeah.
So she detects it very early on, and she'll tolerate no aloofness but her own.
Yeah.
That's just something you got to deal with. It's just a personality. I have to deal with the fact that I want people to think like Jiddu Krishnamurti and Joseph Campbell mixed together. That's asking a lot of normal, everyday people. And the cost of that is I have to be alone sometime.
Yeah.
But as long as you're aware of it, you're okay.
I I hate admitting that you're right and that I do have no tolerance for other people's aloofness and other people's moments of just like down moments. It's not that I don't have a... All right, it's a mix of not having a tolerance and being like, hey, there's more important shit to be handling right now.
Yep.
But I give infinite allowances for mine. Yep. But I think it's because I express mine at times when it's not affecting anyone else. Yep. At least I think that's not affecting anyone else. That could be egocentric bias there.
Exactly. It could be true or it could not be true. Here's what's cool about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because that's how egocentric bias, if you want to call it that, that's how the mind works. You're going to rationalize your own shit really well.
Yeah.
I think that... I say the same thing. All my stuff doesn't affect anyone else. I keep it to myself. What that does is allow me to avoid accountability for the fact that people that do depend on me, they depend on me for something beyond the thing that I find most valuable of me. See what I mean?
Mm.
I want them to not need me emotionally or psychologically. You need to be independent to be around me. It's my own bullshit.
Mm.
Everyone's got it. Yeah. Everyone's got it. And it's something you just have to know about yourself, because you can look at it from both sides. I think all the time. I don't know how you're not aware of this. We've always talked about this. Maybe perhaps indirectly, but when you were starting a business, and it had a really everything you do and want to do has a real social element to it that I always found unnecessary, but I knew that's part of you. Like, let us help. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just raw making money. It was like helping people, mm-hmm. too. Now, grocery delivery is like big.
Yeah,
it's like a big thing. And like, I don't know if you ever think about that, but.
Oh, yeah, I think about that. I was like, man. Moved
12 years ago, like 10, 12, a long time. It's really cool. Now, it's like there's whole companies doing that.
And the funny thing is that when I see the way that it's handled now,
mm-hmm.
it's handled, well, the way that society perceives it, in my opinion, it seems more like an expectation. Like, they just expect you to do that. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. And as I think about that, I can wholeheartedly say that I would have ended the business or dropped out of it or something like that, because I don't like when people treat what I'm doing like some kind of expectation. Like, I'm not your boy to come and do your groceries. Like, I'm doing this because I see a need in you, and for them it's more of just a convenience, like, hey,
that's bring me my groceries. I deal with the same thing, but I deal with it for the same reason. I'm an egomaniac.
Yeah.
Sometimes you attribute virtue to something, and that doesn't mean that's what's going to be effective, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially for, like, when you're doing things where you got a plan or a business model or something you're trying to approach, you know what I mean? Hmm. I have to realize that at work, I represent less than 1%. It doesn't matter how right I am, and usually I'm like 110% right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can't run a whole company with Mark Twain's.
Mm.
I gotta have a special computer, my special setup. Like, they couldn't talk. It couldn't. Yeah. There would be no business.
Yeah.
I have to be smart enough to know that. So then it becomes, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
You go start your own business? Do you got what it takes to do that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're gonna have to put people in positions to where you can get the maximum out of them, and more importantly, consistency out of them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You get people that spike in creativity, like myself or something. But we're a roller coaster, and it doesn't matter how awesome it is. It may not be as good as three people that are consistent, but maybe they're a little more boring. You know what I mean? Depends on what you're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve. Just how life goes. And the friendships, man, I think everyone goes through this as they get older. My buddy I just sat down with for lunch, he was talking about the same thing, and I didn't know why he was bringing it up. I wanted to make sure I wasn't in that category. I was like, no, why are you saying that you're getting to where you want to be around, like, less and less people? I'm like, what's the significance of that or whatever? And I forget what conclusion he came to, but it left me in such a state that I want to follow back up with him. But Gary was talking about, you know, he just doesn't want to be, or I forget how he put it, he doesn't want to be around, he doesn't want to give energy to people anymore. And I know what he meant by it. I know what he's talking about. He's a guy that will make any situation positive.
Yeah.
He'll come into a negative space and like get. Yeah. He was saying he didn't want to do that anymore. And when I tried to interpret what I thought he meant, he meant something else. So I was left not understanding, but it was still curious. I still know what he meant. I think it might be just a part of growing up. He was describing more like he just didn't want it. It sounds a little bit like what you're saying. He didn't want to be around people where he wasn't getting something, he had to work to bring it up to even keel. If it's mm-hmm. negative, let's say it's minus three, he don't want to work to bring it up to plus one anymore.
Yeah.
He wants to bear, and who could blame him? You know, and I feel like that.
That makes sense for me.
Spaces where I have lots of virtuous attribution. It doesn't matter how valuable it is to other people, but intellectually, I don't want to be around people that cannot think or not interested in thinking for themselves or mm-hmm. can't think about more than one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all got to go to work. We all got to get our paychecks. But can you, in addition, you know, think about this thing? Can we talk about black people's issues without falling the fuck apart? You know, and arguing each other. Those videos, I don't know if I sent through very many of them, but the one of that guy that's on Dave Ramsey's network or whatever, he's got some interesting shit. I don't know how he ended up in my feed, but I think he's in the Nashville area. I'm trying to track him down.
Yeah.
His name's Anthony something, but all of his topics are great and the production is off the chain, but I'm always curious about how hard it is to have that conversation. We were talking yesterday at work, me and like four or five other black people, and those people never get philosophical. So I was just happy. I was like, yeah, y'all talking about something lunch break that y'all usually run me off for. So I just was listening.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting was how when you described some dynamic, a general dynamic, how many people, I disagree with that because see, there's nothing to disagree about. Just showing you how grass turns brown in the winter. But because you have brown grass, you think you have to defend your grass. I know, I'm just saying, here's what we're all doing, and here's how we can do it better. You know, and I'm so fascinated about how few people can carry on conversations at depth. And why I'm saying this is, that's an example to me of the thing you're saying about your associations and your friendships, and the thing I think Gary was saying about the people around him. I think it's part of being a grown man. I think it's part of just growing up. Everyone gets to some point like that. And I think it's especially pronounced and acute in America today because I think we are all egomaniacs. Yeah. Every single one of us. I had a guy at work, I brought this up, I think, before, but that he was in a circle of other guys at work. And I walked, and once I was like, fellas, I called, and I was like, yo, got a good question for you all. And the first thing he said, and it took us 2 weeks to kind of resolve, the first thing he said was, dude, why are you so confident?
What?
Like, it was really weird. Yeah. It was really weird. I know he didn't mean any harm, but it brought to my mind, like, what was that your reaction?
Yeah.
Like, and furthermore, what way do you expect me to behave? Because see, it already reveals that we all expect our sensibilities to be appeased
to be at appeased.
Every turn.
Yeah.
And at every moment,
mm-hmm.
because it's actually a projection of our ego, even what we're doing. And we have lost what it means to be amongst a crowd of people or a group of people and leave a little bit of yourself in the car. Try to be cool and open and be a real
checking your ego at the door, man.
Yeah, check your ego at the door. Go bowling, but don't make it about you. It's tricky. We all have a hard time doing it anymore. That's what I think the thing is.
So how do I keep myself out of that equation? How do I check
easy.
Oh,
easy.
God.
Easy.
What is that?
You got to do what the lion won't do.
What?
The Leo insists that his environment is his own. He leads the pride. He walks at the front of the pride. He chills and the chicks go get through. You have to get in the jungle.
Yeah.
They always talk about lions in the jungle. Lions don't actually
go in the jungle. They don't go in the jungle.
Yeah, they actually go in the jungle.
Yeah.
But you know what is in the jungle?
What's that?
A super independent creature that doesn't need anyone or anything. And it's wild than a motherfucker.
So what is it?
The tiger.
What
I mean is you have to change your environment and you watch how quickly you start to check. I'm doing it to myself now. I'm amongst people who are as good as me but had a dad.
Yeah.
Who are as good as me, but are not fat and out of shape and still look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you get these science experiments when you get in big, proper environments. And that's what I mean. It's the best for human beings at the trajectory which we put ourselves on. You want things out of life. You're ambitious. When you get down to Nashville, everything you doing all of a sudden ain't shit. And Nashville ain't Manhattan.
Bro.
It ain't San Francisco. But when you get down there, watch how much of them badass Nigerian young ladies that write code, that got cupcake shops and shit on the side, that you're going to be like, oh, shit. Yeah. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter because guess what? You got five of me.
Yeah.
Five Kilborns that you can pick from, and we can be aloof mm-hmm. and unreliable and not responsive because you got five of us, and then your podcast is still kicking ass because you ain't reliable. Watch. That's what you got to do. You see, you have to make the environment and the opportunities, you have to make the resources available to you as big as your motherfucking ego.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I've been thinking.
Sometimes it's counterintuitive. It doesn't like... It's like, I didn't know that would work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I've been having this thought as of late. Like, I talk to my wife about it, and I just say stuff like, we need to move. We need to go to another city or something. And I think it's because inside of me, there is this desire for a change of environment because I don't want to fucking be anyone. I don't want to be anyone. I want to be in a spot.
What do you mean by
like, that? I don't want to be anyone in the sense that I want to be nobody.
Oh.
I want the shit that I do to like matter,
yeah.
but not matter, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hate the fact that I'm even saying that because it almost sounds way too egocentric, mm-hmm. but I'm just like, any time that I've always stepped out of Bowling Green, any time that I've always changed an environment where nobody knows me,
yeah.
like I seem to take in way more of the world. I seem to yeah. recognize like or pay more attention to other people and listen yeah. to their points of view. And stuff like that. And view myself as someone who's like, man, you aren't really shit. Learn from all these people
yeah.
and take it in. Take yeah. it in.
It's tricky because when you do that in an environment, I'm going through it now. I'm a fish. So my environment is very important to me. The water that I swim in is very more effect on me than I like to admit.
Mm.
I have a Leo ascendant. So I think and I project myself like a Leo. But on the inside, I'm an introverted person. I'm a Pisces. And so my environment, the water I'm in, is very important. I have to be selective about it because I'm more affected by it than I want to admit mm-hmm. to myself. So what I have to do is not get caught up in the wave, you know what I mean? And I find myself in situations where there's no one to share an experience on the same tier as me. And that's when you're getting the red flag that you better change your environment.
Hmm.
Or else you'll become it. Now, I'm talking about a different circumstance than you, but I'm talking about a similar catalyst for checking yourself.
Yeah.
So what do? I need to get where what I'm doing is not a disturbance. You see what I mean?
Hmm.
Like, I would see, like, people, they would say things like, dang, wish I could afford a $1,200 RC car. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But guess where they wouldn't say that at?
California.
In San Mateo,
yeah, they would say to California.
And they're like, oh yeah, you didn't get this upgrade for your drone or your
yeah.
RC car? Because there's a bunch of young people that, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing. You're in customer service company, excuse me, a customer service company, not a technology company. You're in the Bible Belt, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
And people still got a family and fucking Sunday morning service and shit like that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to take accountability for yourself. A part of me knows I would do real well in the rat race of like Manhattan or something.
Yeah.
I know I would because it would force me to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to turn this other pond
yeah.
into the place it's not. So it's tricky. You got to, and that's all you got to do. And then all of a sudden those things won't be such a big deal at all.
You know, and there's another part of me that there's the change of environment feel that I have.
Yeah.
But there's also the stop to smell the roses kind of thing that also,
yeah.
because I try to stay constantly on the move, constantly looking for some next path of growth that I do forget to take a look at what I have now.
Yeah.
You know, I made a Instagram story post about how I need to take some vacation time
mm-hmm.
and just stop and take a look at shit, stand outside or something like that. I have to be forced to fucking take vacation, bro. Like, not forced, but like strongly, like recommended to go and like, you need to take some time off or something. And when I do try to take time off, like on my own volition, I'll be like, I only need 2 hours. Or, you know, I may step out like 2 hours early, or I'll say, oh, let me just do an hour and a half or something like that. And I just don't know how to treat it. And maybe I would enjoy life more, or maybe see that there is more to take in, more to learn, if I actually fucking stopped for a second to pay attention to stuff. But the part that I'm scared of is there are so many people in my circles or just in this town that are comfortable at exactly where they are, and I know that there's so much potential that everyone has to be able to do more. And maybe the thing is just accepting that, yeah, you might be able to do more. It doesn't mean you have to do more. It's like having a Corvette. You don't have to drive it at 200 miles every single day. You can drive it 35 miles and go to the grocery store. But I also think, what's the point of having the mind that you have, of having the body that you have, or all this other shit, if you're not going to use it? That's just, so that's kind of the spot where I sit right now. And then so that same mindset essentially bleeds into my circles of friends, where I see people that are so fucking intelligent, or they can do so much stuff. It's like, why aren't you doing it? Like, mm-hmm. go and it causes so much inner frustration, because I do feel like I'm friends with a lot of people that can really crush it out there, but just choose not to. And I don't know. Maybe I've got to learn, like you were saying, to just let people be, but I will not. No one's going to make me feel bad for expecting a lot out of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to balance that.
Yeah. I mean, it ain't nothing new under the sun. I would still say that not being like a I know it all or something, but that I've seen that all my life. I've seen that dynamic all my life, and I've had ongoing sort of philosophical conversations with people about that. One of my older brothers is one of the people. He's always like, why don't you do something when people tell you to do it, you know? Because he's seen his younger siblings and nieces and nephews and cousins and stuff go through the same bullshit,
yeah.
grow up the same way and make the same stupid mistakes. And I'm of the mind of, why does it take you so long to realize that apparently that's not how people work?
Yes.
You know what I mean? People don't work that way. Why is it so hard for him to see that and then change? Because it's actually a protraction of his insecurities.
That's what I wonder.
It's a protraction of his, as well, I say sensibilities, it may not be the right word, but that's how the ego works. It'll really trick you that way. He wanted me to play football. He was right in what he wanted me to do and be stronger and be a little bit more team-oriented and get that experience of playing on a, you know, being an environment where it ain't about you and contributing and all that. I know exactly what my brother was trying to do, but why did he fail at getting me there? Why did I still end up playing Nintendo for hours instead?
Yeah.
Because apparently that's not how people work. It was more about him wanting to protect me from going through what he think he went through. See how the
You said the key catalyst, thing, what he thinks he went through.
Yeah.
That's ego right there, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He felt like the unsung hero. He felt like he could have did better in football and went and played to college and all that stuff. And seeing the potential in me and calling it love for me. Isn't that curious though? Why does the energy come when it's about satisfying something in yourself? But why wasn't the energy there to foster what he saw in me, like Seth MacFarlane's parents did? They just gave him a notepad and a pencil and said, keep drawing.
Hmm.
Have you seen his stuff from when he was 6 or 7? Haven't. Dude, it was the exact same thing.
Are you serious?
It was the exact same thing. It had a Disney style to it.
Yeah.
Peter Griffin and the dog looked like, you know, a Disney style, because that's what he knew.
Yeah.
But he's been doing the same thing. He was that person. They were like, oh, okay.
Wow. Okay.
He's going to get in a little bit in trouble in school. We're not going to focus on that. We're not going to emphasize the maybe not doing math or something. They just kept putting pencils in. This is Seth.
Seth fucking MacFarlane.
Yeah, MacFarlane. God. What I mean is there's a couple ways to approach it, and it's tricky. If you set up and you've got this potential because you're like a natural leader and a natural, like, socially effective person, like you could be a community leader or something. You could be that kind of dude. And all you got to do is start bringing those interesting people on and lighting a little fire on them and watch how the other interesting people will be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do it that way.
That's where I think the...
You don't hold them to your own personal internal standards, yeah. But light fires and watch what happens. You'll be overwhelmed with the amount of content and contributors you have and all of that. And it would still fall in your same model. You know,
yeah.
You're making sausage. Sausage comes from all over the world.
Yep.
But you got to put together this particular one and check out this interesting person I found. And maybe it's someone you know, maybe it's someone you don't know so well, but you can, you know, you could do that and you'd have your own angle that no one's really doing.
Well, that's what I've started really liking about, like, our Find Your Fucking Thing series of mm-hmm. episodes that we've been doing. Like, yeah. I've learned so much about people, just letting them sit there and tell their stories, and then it gives me an opportunity to talk about things that I sort of go through as well mm-hmm. while we're, you know, navigating our way through whatever the topic is. So, for example, the last FYFT episode was called Blood and Bones. And it was my friend who is having, they're having their first child in the next, like, 8 days now or so, mm-hmm. the baby's due. And it was just going over, like, what are some of the thoughts you have going through your head? Mm-hmm. And through that discussion, as he's talking about things, I start to uncover certain things about myself. And it's like, I feel like I have not heard of any other podcasts or any other things that do exactly what you're saying. Like, go through and have people, like, they're the content. There's nothing that I have to do. I'm merely just navigating my way through it. And then that episode has led to more feedback. I've gotten messages from different people and they've said, like, hey, maybe this is something we can talk about. And I'm just full of yes, let's do it. And if the pipe dream or whatever you want to call it is to just have stories upon stories upon stories. And that's the way that I think we all learn. And then when we do these type of episodes, it's where we like wrap everything together. And it's like, let's talk about something to really get people thinking and then make some new topics, mm-hmm. maybe based on what we talked about Sunday or maybe not.
Yeah.
But that is kind of, you know, as this podcast starts to evolve, I start to think of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I also, it does then lead to the people that I associate myself with. And it's like I wish that all my friends were people that other people also gravitated to and were like, hey, I've got something on my mind. I want to go talk to them. And like I've always told you guys, you and Chris, like, I'd love to have like a network of people just submitting stories and just getting shit out there and whatever's on their mind, whatever they're thinking yeah. about. And just,
do you know how many freaking podcasts Joe Rogan's responsible for?
No.
The spinoff. He's a Leo. He's the same way.
Really?
He's not a follower enough that he had to make his own lane. Because mm-hmm. it's the only thing that fit the amount of space he needed to be himself.
Yeah.
He's highly respected, but he's not like typical. He ain't Hollywood. You don't see him on TV all the yeah. time, but he's big enough to be. Him and Dave Chappelle are touring right now, like mm-hmm. blowing the roof off places, but they're two very different approaches to it, you know?
Yeah.
But he's very protective and very curative of his friendships. You'll notice, like, he's when he's on there, some people are annoyed by him. They call him out about it. He doesn't mean any harm, but he's a little bit, he suns his friends a little bit.
He does?
Oh, yeah. If you listen to Joe Rogan, it's yeah. like, dude, like, that's a grown man. Leave him alone. But that's the kind of friendships he has to have. He has to have the friendships where he can be the pride pack leader. He has to have those kind of friendships.
Doesn't that seem bad, though?
No, not at all. It's just the way your makeup is. It's all about awareness and clarity of who you are and what effects that has, you know, and mm-hmm. then exercising that and getting the maximum potential out of it. Because, you know, he's got some weird old fucking friends
yeah.
that on their own, they would have never got the spotlight, or on their own, they would have, no one could stand him. I couldn't stand Ari Shaffir. He's not fucking funny.
I don't think he's very funny.
Yeah, but when he's with Joe, he comes out. You're like, some of the best episodes. Yeah. And Brian Callen reminds me of himself. He's an intellectual,
yeah.
but he's a little bit too much. He's a little bit too much, you know, at a party. Well, oh God, here he comes. He's on a little too much.
Yeah.
And I know what that kind of person is, too. But in combination with Joe, man, it makes for a great yeah. episode. Some of the best fucking... I started listening because of Duncan Trussell.
Who's that?
The comedian.
Yeah, I've never
fucking
heard.
Weirdo, man. You just really? Gotta, yeah, you just gotta look up a Duncan Trussell episode. Sounds like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah,
a really high-pitched, weird voice.
You know, one of the things that you
Carolina
had said,
Mountain Man.
You had said, like, you know, he's too much at a party when you were talking about Brian Callen.
Yep.
That is one of my biggest fears, dude. Is that I feel like I'm too much, not yeah. at a, just in general.
Yeah.
You know, in one sense, we're talking, okay, I need to create my own lane
yeah.
and create spaces where I can grow and develop and stuff like that. But I also, I do get scared about being too much. And then do I think that I'm too much because it is just a protraction of my fucking bloated ego that I have
right.
of myself.
Right.
And so it's like where I get stuck is like, am I really too much, or am I not that special, you know? Do you see where I'm coming from?
I think so.
Like I'm fighting myself. Maybe it's because society has said it's a negative thing to be, and I'm doing my air quotes, to be too much.
Yeah.
Maybe too much is a negative way to say some people just mm-hmm. require more or something like that. But yeah, I try to look at my net impact on everything that I touch. And when I hear or feel like I'm too much, it does cause, like, it fucks with my head really bad.
Well, happens to me all the time. Like it. I like that kind of humiliation. No one likes to be caught off guard by it, but it's something I'm going through right now. And I think that's what led my friend Gary to say, you seem like you're in another headspace, because I'm starting to act more like the people I'm around at work to prevent me coming off as too much.
Huh.
And some people think that's really, really fake and superficial, but that's one of the main attributes of Pisces is we're chameleons.
Yeah.
I don't mind putting on. I don't think it makes me fake
yeah.
or something. I'll put on to survive the corporate environment as long as it doesn't exhaust me
yeah.
and gets what I want. And I keep things superficial now instead of going into the depth of them I know, because I'm going to win in that. I'm going to swim in this water
yeah.
and I'm going to win
yeah.
and it's going to come out my way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're ultimately there for. Sometimes it's the big fish, little pond kind of scenario where it's an indication that you simply need to be in a bigger pond. Because
mm.
you can go too far too. You can get out to Silicon Valley where I would get smoked.
Yeah.
Couldn't keep up with some 26-year-old that's brain is firing yeah. fast, but has all the same attributes. You know what I mean? There's yeah. always a balance. You gotta
know what like...
one you want, you know?
I feel like I want to be in those areas. And maybe it doesn't require, like,
right.
a job change. Maybe it doesn't require right. leaving the place. Yeah. I just need to change
right.
my circle to where it's a lot of people that are like, bro, you don't know shit. You know what I'm saying? And then yeah. that will allow me or put me in a position to go back to the basics, if that makes sense. Like, if I'm friends yeah. with a shitload of, like network engineers and system administrators and shit yeah. like that, even though I can sell their product better than they could,
yeah,
if I'm associated with a lot of those people, it would make me wonder, like, I want to know what they know, and so I have to then start from the very beginning and work my way up to get even close to where
yeah.
they are. And it's humbling, but it's also, I like that kind of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so my problem is when I think about doing that kind of shit, like on the job end, it means going and getting a job where I don't make anything. You know what I mean?
Not necessarily. But like you could go, again, I'm using the example of another famous Leo that does this and talks about it for the same reasons. You know, you got to put yourself in challenges. You could go start grappling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that one thing alone, it doesn't have to be something that's intuitive or in line with where you want to cognitively see improvement at. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be that. It could be, you know, your mountain biking or something.
Yeah.
Just go around some serious mountain bikers.
Yeah.
And watch how much other things in your life improve
mm-hmm.
that maybe have nothing to do with that. If you're serious and you stick with it and you say, all right, I'm going to become competent in this circle, or I'm going to fight to remove myself of this feeling of vulnerability or whatever, when you go to the jiu-jitsu club or whatever
yeah.
and you get choked out once a week, and you're like, damn, I'm big and strong, and I still can't win against these people.
That's what fucking yoga does to me, dude. It cancels out all of my yeah. strength, but it's definitely not. Like, I you do know, think that the mountain biking and stuff like that put me in a good headspace because it was very, very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
I sold my other mountain bike. I'm trying to get another one. But, yeah, maybe I do need to... you know, change my fire, be around more experts, if you will, people at a much higher level than where I am, because it does truthfully force me to want to be better. Maybe the satisfaction with my life, with my friends, connections, all that kind of shit will get better if I stop acting or putting myself in positions where it is. And goddamn, this sounds so egocentric to say this, just to be that big fish in a small pond kind of thing. I really hate mm-hmm. that. I really do hate that. It makes me sick to me say
too.
That shit.
Me too. I find myself
The people that say that they are that, I'm like, you cheese dick, dude. I don't think
right. I know what you mean. I find myself saying it all the time at work. Only I found that I can successfully communicate anything one-on-one, but I have to almost always avoid group communication because it makes too many people feel vulnerable and you get the wrong response. You get a collective defensive thing and you become the bad guy. But I found that at work, it's like I'm not like a top-end samurai. I'm just a purist.
Yeah.
And what happens is you put me in an environment where everyone is a accidental technologist and it looks like I'm the odd one out because I'm like, we're doing this wrong and this isn't innovation. It's just normal IT. It's just I'm surrounded by people that IT is secondary to what they're trying to accomplish. Yeah. So it looks like I'm asking for a lot or that I'm doing innovation. Mm-hmm. And it's really tricky to communicate that without sounding egotistical, you know? So you're like, damn, it's really weird. But it also at the same time teaches you something about the way actual relationships work and the way people work, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Huh. I've got so much I've got to think about now.
Yeah. Relationships, friendships are not a cerebral thing. They don't happen in that space. But your ego is all up here. It's all in your head. So nothing's rational about it. Huh. You know what I mean? So that's why it doesn't seem to make sense, you know?
Well, shit, now I've got a bunch to think on. I'm not going to drag this out now because I'm just like, all right, I've got to think on some stuff. So now that we've talked about that topic, which was very good. Thank you, by the way. What's been up with you lately, man?
I've been feeling really, I don't know where it's coming from. Well, it's not that it has to come from anywhere. It's always been like, but I'm kind of happy.
Mm-hmm.
I realize, but I'm feeling like anxious about being happy. Like, I kind of like work right now.
Yeah.
There's a couple things.
You said I kind of like work right now.
Yeah, I kind of just want to do IT. I want to sit home on sunny days like this in a room just like the one we're in where there's sunlight and fucking code and try to make shit work.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that for like 8 weeks straight.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the only thing bothering me is not being able to do that. You know
really?
What I mean? Yeah, that's it. That's weird. And I only just realized the other day because I was going out with my buddy Gary and he kept asking me the same thing. Where's your head at? Like, your head space seems differently. It seems different right now. I'm just like, yeah.
I'd rather be at home.
Yeah, I'd rather be doing this. Like because it's so fulfilling.
Uh-huh.
And I only want to talk to anyone. And I can't find anyone that wants to do that.
Really?
They're all somewhere else. They're all like on Slack, but not
around
me. Everyone else is doing something else. I want to sit in a room like this. And I don't want anyone in that room unless they're like, yeah, this is very fucking cool. How can we make this work? And if that is in line with startup or small business ambitions, I'm okay with that too, to give extra dimension to the social interaction. But at its root, I want it to be the catalyst to be people that are serious about technology, not people that are just in technology because it's a cool place to be right now or accidentally there. You know, blah, blah, blah. Have you seen any of these videos? Do you watch YouTube? I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
There's all these, like, I'm a coder and there's a day in the life shit.
Have you seen those? I hate those, actually.
They're fucking terrible. And they never show a computer.
It doesn't show there's no coding.
Code. There's no code. You don't see any code. You don't even see a computer. I'm like, what the? How are people? This is what I mean.
And it sucks because, like, so the people doing the shows are fucking hot. And it's
just
like,
yes.
Like, wait a minute.
Dude, I found the new
one.
Okay,
you had a shake. I saw you sitting at a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
You worked out.
Exactly.
You went to lunch.
It's so fucking fascinating to me. Yeah. And I found a new one today. Another young black, like Nigerian hot tea.
Yeah.
And I was like, you found a way to be a YouTuber. You're an influencer. I didn't see a lick. I just want to say, what's COBOL? I just want to say, show me right now if loop in Python.
Yeah.
I don't think you code, because right now, coding is like, it's like factory for our generation. It's like the baseline
thing. It is factory work.
Everybody, you are not that. Whatever distinguishes people, and Rogan had John Carmack on the other day, and then I find like these talks from like some of my favorite PowerShell guys and stuff, and then they sound right. I'm like, that's who I'm looking for. So that's what's been going on with me. Like, I'm not good enough. My mind isn't, my health and stuff is such that I can't concentrate as well as I want to for the type of ambitions I have, what I know I can do. I can't concentrate for like 2 straight hours.
Yeah.
So that's bothering me, and I know I've got to get back healthy in order to do that. But I also am like looking for where are the people at that's goddamn serious about this. And you know, for me, I've always said this. Somehow, I got this from Jiddu Krishnamurti. I don't think seriousness means you have to have a rigid or uptight demeanor.
No, I don't think serious.
I think
there's a certain level of defense you have about something when you're serious about it.
Defense, like
what? Yeah, and defense in the sense that... Yeah, it's a trash can. Defense in the sense that you'll do things to put yourself in a position for... You'll do things to put yourself, whether it's time, energy, all that kind of shit, in a position to allocate to that whenever you need to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I think a seriousness is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Me too, I agree.
That like, I can just turn off whatever I'm doing and just go, like, my seriousness straight up, and I wish that I was surrounded by more people that like podcasting. Like, yeah. I wish that that's all I did all the time. And I see Rogan. I was talking to some of my friends about how Rogan was... Was it you and I had talked for a second? At one point, he was making 75K per episode.
Yeah, that was years ago. So
he's making
advertisements.
Yeah, so he's obviously making more now.
Yeah, he's
clearing that for sure. Like, I think that it's such a good medium for content, in my opinion. And I just want to be surrounded by people who do that kind of shit. And so, because we're in this area, it's cool. When people, it's fantastic. It's beautiful when people they'll recognize the podcast, or they'll say something like, "Oh, I didn't know that was you, or that you're doing it." I've been in situations where I've like walked by a spot and I've heard people listening to our podcast.
Oh, that's
and
dope.
It's really dope. But like, I wish that there, if I was just surrounded by other people who had their, you know, all the people that I
follow. Do you really, or do you just want to make a bunch of fucking money?
Oh no! I of course both. Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If that's what you then
well
that's
actually
all it
no.
takes. That's all it takes. Because I was getting at why I said that's in the way I did is because, man, that's all it takes. The rest will just fucking happen.
Yeah.
If you enjoy what you just described, because I know I do. I know I have that catalyst. I love when I feel like kinship with a person because they play Quake in 1999 and they understand my Big Lebowski joke. Like, I'm like, yes. So it's worth it enough just to do that. If you were somewhere or somehow we arranged a situation where you could like funnel and grab a hold of those people, that's what will do it. Because I hate to keep bringing up Joe Rogan, but when you hear him describe it, he still said it to this day. He's like, man, I don't know how it got like this.
Yeah.
It was just being silly on his couch in Pasadena or somewhere. And you can see it if you were failing and you followed. The rest of the other shit happened. You never heard him mention money and stuff like that. And he makes more money than anyone now.
Yeah. And truthfully, it's not about the money thing. And it made me think, for some reason, this triggered this thought.
Yeah.
Because one of my friends posted on my wall about, he said, it was like a meme. And it was like, let's make a podcast is the new let's start a band for people these days.
Wow.
And I was like, One part of me was like, I responded with like the love or laugh comment or something like that.
Yeah.
But one part of me is like, your whole life, you go to work and you have your kid and that's it. You don't fucking do anything else. It's like, when you go, what is the net impact you have on the world?
Yeah, man.
Sold some technology. Okay, cool.
That's right.
Like, people can say whatever they want about this, but... Yeah. And I've said it since day one. I do not do this for the masses of people. Like you and you've seen our charts. Mm-hmm. We're almost 1,400 downloads a month. I think that's great for this area. But I don't care. Okay. It's about if I said something that affects just one person. That's all it is.
Well,
I want one person
is,
to be like, dude, what you said or this talk that we had that completely changed my perspective, and I'm going to try and do better or do different. And I just wish that I can do that all the time. And I think my only roadblock is the roadblock that I put in front of myself where...
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like...
I'll do that.
You know, I'll come home from work and, you know, everyone... You know, my wife will go to work or, you know, Haley's gone to bed and it's just kind of me. And instead of sitting there and making more content, I'm like, let me play some fucking video games, you know, or let me play guitar or that's all this other shit. And it's just like, maybe I should be like allocating that time towards there. But at the same time, it feels manufactured. Yes, I want to be able to grind and do my thing, but it's gotta only happen when it feels right, not when I should be doing it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know, man. That's my thing, is being surrounded by a lot of people that are into podcasting and just, you know, we're on each other's shows and, you know, I've given mics to people and stuff like that. I've been like, hey, go and make something. Mm-hmm. But it never fails. I've yet to see one episode from someone who I've given a mic to.
Yeah.
What
does that make you think?
It makes me aware of the privilege that I have, in the sense that I quickly became comfortable with hearing my voice and being wrong about shit, mm-hmm. or sounding silly or mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it also makes me recognize how crazy I get when it comes to like production quality and trying to make things sound perfect and all that other kind of shit. And it's like, how arrogant of me to just be like, oh yeah, go and take a mic, it's that easy. But there's so much that you have to overcome within yourself to be able to get to that point, mm-hmm. of just putting out whatever it is that you feel like saying, or that you feel might be as important. And then other people are just like, nah, it's not really that important, and they don't listen. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it makes sense. Of course it makes sense, yeah. I mean, a simple way that I would put that is nobody's going to care about your thing more than you do.
Yeah.
But the reason I think I'm so okay with that is because my whole life has been that. I was always a little bit outside the right category. And when it came along, I was like, huh. I just laughed now, because I just remember when there was no way to do computers around here. I was taking a drafting. That was the closest thing to it, a computer-aided drafting class. I could not explain to anyone in grade school that I wanted to make video games. Mm-hmm. People didn't even know how video games are made, or didn't even think that, oh, it's a job that has to be done. It's kind of funny when you think about it. I imagine they thought video games were like animating a movie or something. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize that you had to program computers to do that. But I remember, and now you can learn to code for real.
Yeah.
In elementary school. And so everything I've always been interested in has been like that. It's been, and I know that, and that's why it makes changing your environment, because you have to be where that moment that you described, where it feels right, occurs more frequently.
Yeah.
Naturally. And that's why motherfuckers go to LA, because guess what? Everybody's there to try to make it. And you got people who are of every recipe of personality that want to express themselves.
Yeah.
Now, your thing becomes easier to do naturally, and you're saying no to people.
Yeah.
But when you're in goddamn Bible Belt, fucking watch the UK game,
yeah.
and go to Riley's Bakery. Is Riley's Bakery open?
I don't know. I think I don't really think it tastes that good, but it
fucking needs to be.
Huh?
Yeah, I had it the other day at my mom's birthday. I was like, I remember these being better when I was a kid.
Yeah, but shout out to Little Fox Bakery, by the way.
Where is that at?
That's on the square, dude. They make some killer shit, dude.
I want fucking cake and ice cream.
Catfish. Sounds so good.
Dude. Fry all the catfishes.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, Lent's coming up, dude. That's when, shout out to Catholicism, though, because like during that Easter time,
yeah,
motherfuckers are cooking fried catfish everywhere.
It's good for it or something?
Yeah, because they can't eat meat. And so, like, they have fish fries, and that's sort of the thing that they do on Fridays.
Well, we got several people at work linting, but...
Well, here's the thing. When you're on... What
they're talking about.
Well, when you're on... and statistically, that's what it shows. Like, the majority of Catholic religions and Catholic churches are near bodies of water. So if you're along any sort of river or something like that, you'll see, like, Louisville, huge Catholic population. Owensboro, huge Catholic population. People that are along that side are there because that's when they traveled way back in the day.
Right.
Near the ports, on the East Coast, all that shit, Catholic population is very, very huge in those areas. You're not going to see much of it in, like, like the dead center of spots. But on the Catholic churches that are out there, they make some fucking fire catfish. So I know that there's my father-in-law, he does it for his church. He cooks, he whips up catfish and shit like that. And I'm always like, I'm going to come out there. I never have the time. But when I worked in Louisville, it was lunch break on Friday. We were like, who's Catholic in here? Where are we trying to go? And we would all go over to the closest church and just get some. But he will always have some catfish, my father-in-law. And so $10, it's like $10 and all you can eat fucking catfish.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, let's do this. But I like the big slutty pieces, man. Like, there's places
here. I like the style, like the place in Scottsville does. I like it.
Like Harper's?
Like Harper's.
Yeah.
Like that exact, everything man. They serve there, it's exactly what I like. Slaw, the fries and the catfish.
They still allow people to smoke inside? Because that's how it was.
Well, I haven't been there in 3 years, but it certainly looked like it.
If they let you smoke inside, that means the food's good.
Yeah, it tastes better. It tastes better. Someone was like on the thing about it's not real catfish, it's this or whatever.
It's okay, like, shut up.
I don't care about that. Yeah. I don't care if it's actually the species of catfish, right? Like, shut up.
Yeah, it's all about how it's fried.
Surely you know that's not what we care about. Yeah, you know, dude. I mean? Surely you know it's like, do you know where the fucking hamburger you got come from?
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably the thing's almost probably not even a cow or whatever.
That's true.
But, yeah, I forgot what I was saying. Catfish. I want to fry all the catfish.
That sounds good. So, do you have any shameless shout-outs? We're at 58 minutes, my dude.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Don't know who it goes to, but to all the overwhelming support and volunteers. Mm-hmm. In Mount Juliet, in East Nashville, and in Germantown, North Nashville. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to the company I work for. Don't like saying their name. I'm scared of them, but they had an amazing response and mobilization around volunteer opportunities. I went out Saturday myself and saw destruction. I didn't know how close it was to my house. It was like right the next little
block.
Yeah, the next subdivision over. And it was like, whoa.
Called you that morning, and you were just like, "Oh, I'm good."
And shout out to everyone who called me. Thank you for that. It was my birthday, so I thought people were calling me to say happy birthday.
Yeah.
In our family, like a lot of families, you try to be the first to say it, so that means you call at midnight.
Yeah.
And my birthday was that day.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh, these are people that forget I'm the second, not the third. I have my mom on the first, I'm on the second, a sibling on the third, a sibling on the fifth and sixth, two siblings on the 13th, cousins all in between. We're all just like march, all right there, and then we just party all week. I thought it was that thing. So me and my nephew went to bed. Big storm hit, whatever. I thought it was that people. And I finally got up, and it was Gambia crying and like hysterical. What's going on? I'm like, huh? I'm fine.
Yeah.
So like 3 a.m. is when I realized what's going on, and then I started calling everybody. And yeah, shout out to everyone who called and checked on me. I felt real good. People all over the planet were calling me to check on me, and that felt good.
That's cool.
And so, yeah, shout out to all the first responders and all the volunteers that, like, they maxed out on volunteers. Like, so many people that they couldn't give them something
to do. That's beautiful.
And the police have to, like, restructure and be like, okay, I guess you can go over here and do this because there's that much response. And so, yeah, I'm going to get back out again.
Why does a fucking tornado have to hit for us to give a shit?
Because, you know, it's nature. We got to be humiliated a little bit. Yeah. We got to be, you know, the power is out for people till some people. What's today? So some people don't get their power back on till tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah,
and you know that's all. Remember my theory? I told you when the grid collapsed, it wouldn't be a week. This was 48 hours. It would be a week, and we'd be outside barbecuing and throwing frisbee. We'd be so much happier because we will be glad to know that we don't have this, whatever that gross addiction to infrastructure and. You know, doing the things is. We'll be glad to know
gross that we don't have to infrastructure.
Yeah, to the
I'm going
to
do we made something
it,
about that.
Yeah, we made it ourselves. So, there's no one in particular. My favorite convenience store was shut down. I didn't even know. I went to go get the.
Was it Publix?
Nah, man, it's Thornton's.
Thornton's.
They got the fucking Uptime Energy Drink. And I couldn't get it. So, shout out to Uptime Energy Drinks. That's a business. If someone can find me one of those, let me know. Because I need Uptime Energy Drinks. They're my new favorite. But only the Thorntons near my house had them. And that bitch got boarded up windows and stuff.
Oh,
now.
My God.
So, they got hit. Turns out the tornado didn't just go in a straight line. It skipped
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah, like, so yeah, you could be right in line and still it'll jump over. It jumped over. It did that because we were like, this path of destruction makes no sense, but it bounced around. But the most consistent line was the line where all the energy hubs were at, all the stations.
Yeah.
So that's why so much power was out.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, shout out to Nashville Strong, and we'll get back on our feet. We'll be fine.
Yeah. It's also, today is a International Women's Day.
Oh, is it?
So shout out to just...
That's why my YouTube feed had... I had nothing but MGTOW shit coming up on my thing, and I was enjoying it because it's funny as hell to hear guys... scorned guys because they all sound like they just got dumped on by a dime.
Yeah.
And I was like, although I love that MGTOW shit just because I'm a hermit in the ways, but a lot of them I'm like, dude, you hate your ex-wife. You can hear it in them.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Shout out to all the women out there.
Yeah. Shout out to you.
Yeah, to the women, to the people that identify as women, like, shout out to every single one of you. Thank you for all that you do. I know that they have, you know, a day and everything, but and shout out to the women who have yet to realize how much power that they have over this entire universe, man. Because when you do realize
it, not the poo nanny.
But when you realize it, Jesus Christ, like it's like that episode when Goku turned Super Saiyan. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How the entire world was like, oh shit, Frieza's about to get fucked up. Like, that's what I feel like it's how it is when a woman understands and discovers her power. So shout out to all the women out there, and thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for keeping most of us honest and like striving to be better at least. And people don't realize
that. Yes,
like,
and that power
wars are fought over.
Is found women. In the kitchen. That's my last one. That's my last one. I'm sorry. It's so.
It's too easy. I'm throwing in the strike zone, and it's you have to swing. You have to knock it out of the park.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, thank you to all of you guys. And if you guys found value in this episode, I hope that you did. And I hope that it makes you think about your friends and your circles and the different things that you have going on in your life. So again, if you found value in this, please hit us up on Instagram. That's at the Salumist Podcast. Hit us up on Facebook. Just type in the Salumist on there. Go to our website, www.thesalumist.com. I've got written content up there. We also have our episodes on there. Please pay us a visit. Jump on our website and buy some merch if you are interested in any of that kind of stuff. There's also our donation page. So if you go on there, you'll see the link to donate. Any amount is going to help, but I really want this to grow and turn into something even better. I want us to be able to get cameras so we can do some video content. I want us to get some better mics. There's just a list of things that we need. And so if you can help us out and contribute, that would be fantastic. Did you have something else you were going to say, Mark? I saw you.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, I saw you kind of like, oh, okay, afterwards.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, though.
Okay, all right. All right, guys, kick all the ass this week. Do something great, and we will see you next week.
Peace.